Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. Lovely to come on a Sunday. I was saying to a few people before the start of service, I've come here once midweek, and we had a Buckinghamshire ministers meeting here before Christmas, and it was very impressive kind of setup, but particularly the atmosphere. I don't know, sometimes you go to a place and you just sense that it's a special place, and just being here midweek even then, although the building was empty, you could just feel it was a really special place. So it's a delight and a real privilege to be here on a Sunday morning and to see all your happy, smiley faces. And so if you remember nothing else of the next 20 minutes, half an hour or so, I want to both bring you greetings from the Central Association, but also encourage you in all that you are, in all that you're being, and all that you're doing at the moment. I really sense, and it's seen across the association, that you're doing and being a really incredible witness and a real valuable resource in this community. So if you want to now snooze for half an hour just basking in that glory, then that's fantastic. But otherwise, there may be one or two other things we can share and think about. You don't know who I am more than perhaps my name, unless you are the sort of person who Googles the visiting speaker just to see whether it's worth turning up on a Sunday or not. But my name's Andrew Openshaw. I come originally from Bolton in Lancashire, so if the accent is a little impenetrable, then apologise in advance, but I can't do much about it. It tends to be Bath and Path rather than Bath and Path. But other than that, if you have any comprehension issues, just put your hand up. I've not been a minister actually for that long. This year, 2024, will only be the 10th anniversary of my ordination. I was a minister when I was a minister in training in the CBA in Tring in Hertfordshire, and I also did a bit of ministry at Cabington Baptist Church, which is near Luton in Bedfordshire, and then we moved to Frinton-on-Sea, on the Essex Sunshine Coast. Anyone know Frinton? You know vaguely where it is. It's not that far from Harwich, yeah, which is where you used to get a boat to Holland. And so they always used to say, because Frinton was a big retirement community, that Harwich for the continent and Frinton for the incontinent.
Yeah.
It always gets a big laugh outside of Frinton, but not in Frinton, amazingly. So we were there for a short while through COVID, and then the opportunity came to come back to the CBA and serve as a regional minister in the Central Baptist Association. So I just did want to say a little bit about the CBA, just very, very briefly. I brought my little banner, my poster, so you can read on there that the CBA is the association. So Baptist churches in this country are all independent charities, which is fantastic, and it means you get to be flexible and do what you want, but it can be a little bit like herding cats at times, trying to get people to kind of cooperate and work together. We don't have the structure maybe of the Church of England or even the Methodists, where it's kind of nationally organised. We are a kind of very distributed and kind of democratic, we could almost say biblical, no, we won't say that, that might be offensive, but we are a very flat structure, but we do like to come together. We want to encourage churches to come together as a family. Louise said that. So you have 150 sister and brother churches across the four counties of Northamptonshire, Bedfordshire, Buckinghamshire and Milton Keynes, and so you can see them handily mapped out there. Yes, if you want to play the game, you can. Which of the I'll give you a clue. One of the brown. It depends on how good your geography is. You know, brown for where we are here in Buckinghamshire. Blue, or kind of that kind of bluish shade for Hertfordshire. A rather odd shade of kind of greeny yellow for Bedfordshire towards the east. A kind of deeper green in the middle for Milton Keynes, which, although part of Bucks, kind of because a lot of the churches in Milton Keynes are ecumenical projects and are kind of working together. Milton Keynes has a bit of a different atmosphere, so that's always been kind of thought of apart. And then in the north, kind of all the way through Northamptonshire up to sort of Kettering and places in the far north, is that kind of purple colour. So There are 150 churches, nearly 10,000 members, so it's a large family, a very diverse family. One of the joys of being a regional minister is going around churches and seeing them in different shapes and sizes, but all hopefully serving their communities, and that's the joy, is that they're very specific to where they are, and they need to look and feel like the places that they're serving. So there are four of us as regional ministers. I was the last to join the team, although everyone kind of started through 2022 and into the very beginning of 2023. So I'm not sure if we're allowed to call ourselves a new team anymore. But yes, I've just been in the job just over a year. One of the hats I wear is as the regional minister for Buckinghamshire. So I get to kind of have a specific eye and thought for all the brown churches. And my home church now is Haddenham, which is one of the kind of brown dots out on the kind of western edge there. Tame Cornerstone is the furthermost one. And we don't mention them because they're really in Oxfordshire, but you know, we let them in as honorary members because they're a decent sort. So I have Buckinghamshire. Nathan Toesland, you might know, looks after Northamptonshire. Mary Moody, Hertfordshire, and then Lisa Kerry. There's Milton Keynes in Bedfordshire. But we also wear kind of different hats and specialties. So Lisa is the kind of team leader and relates the national resource, kind of looks after us all. Nathan is a great worship leader, so he specialises also in worship and helping churches across the association with various worship projects and children, youth and families. Mary looks after, has a particular heart for smaller churches and for mission. And I get to do all the rest, all the bits that nobody else wants to do. All the exciting things, like looking after committees. So I'm the association secretary, a company secretary, because we're both a company and a charity, the way the association is structured. I support all of our committees. So that's one thing that the association does, is we do things that churches perhaps wouldn't be able to do together. So we have our ministerial recognition committee. So those that are sensing a call to ministry, we organise a group. And, you know, as I wanted to encourage you, be encouraged that last year we looked around and we didn't have perhaps many people who were sensing a call to ministry. It might have been a COVID thing or people put things on hold. We're currently in conversation with 14 people across the association who are looking into a potential commitment into some form of full-time recognised ministry, which is phenomenal. With Mary, we organised the Home Mission Committee, which sounds a bit kind of dusty, but it's actually a really exciting place where we get to find out about and support mission initiatives, either with one-off grants or with long-term funding for personnel, mission youth specialists, a minister accredited or otherwise. And there's a Home Mission Appeal each year, and this year we've just had the numbers in from 2023, and CBA, more was given than we expected, more was given than the previous year, so that's phenomenal, which in the current atmosphere is a real credit to what God is doing through His Spirit in the association. So by association, we can all be encouraged that God is on the move, and so money is therefore available. It's not about money, you know, vision leads, but sometimes in the world that we're in, we're always thinking, oh, well, what about this? How much is it going to cost? And actually, you know, there is money available to fund mission, either through one-off grants or through long-term grants. So do, you know, give thanks about that, pray about it, pray that we as an association would use that wisely. There's the finance committee as well, and all kinds of other exciting things that go on, and I get the privilege to also represent the association and our denomination. I've recently become a trustee of Churches Together in Britain and Ireland, so that's a kind of even bigger family, not just a Baptist family across this country, but all Christian denominations across the British Isles and Southern Ireland as well. So God is on the move, and it's amazing to be part of that and to play some small kind of a role within all that we see and do. And it's hugely encouraging. So, you know, as I said, if you think of nothing else, remember nothing else, be encouraged, be empowered through the Spirit to go and do and be what God is calling you to do, despite what's going on. Because that's true, isn't it? There is always that kind of other bit, you know. The association does lots of great things, but we also get involved sometimes when things go wrong. And that does happen. You know, unfortunately, you know, last year, you know, we had ministers who whose behaviour meant that they were no longer able to be ministers. We've had churches getting into financial difficulties, suffering from fraud and other forms of activity that meant they've been in difficulties. There are times when people within churches don't get along with each other as they should, and sometimes the regional team can help kind of facilitate conversations. And so the church life and association life isn't always easy, it isn't always simple. And therefore, we kind of have this balance. And we want to see that in that reading from Isaiah that we heard, that we know the context, and at this point in the sort of narrative thread of Isaiah, many people would hear that they're back rebuilding Jerusalem, that they've gone, the people have gone through exile and now they return, and yet still things aren't as they would want them to be. And the writer says, oh, if only you would do this, if only God you would act in power like you have in the past, if only you would do this, in this kind of this long passage. And then we get to verse 8 and there's kind of a mood change or just a flick. In the version I was preparing for, it says, and yet. In the version you heard read, it's even simpler, just yet. All of this is going on, and yet. One of the great things about being a regional minister, as I said, is you get to go and, you know, visit other churches, and if you have a great idea for a sermon, you get to use it sort of 5, 6, 7, 8 times. You know, it's much better than being a local minister, because you have to have a great new idea every week, because eventually they've heard all the jokes, they know all the stories, they know, you know, you've got to be kind of constantly on the go, whereas I get to kind of reuse stuff. Anyway, when I was in a ministry in Trin before, I got an invitation to go and speak at one of the other Baptist churches in Trin, and they said, oh, it's going to be doing a series on the 23rd Psalm. And I thought, oh, that's great, oh, I kind of like the 23rd Psalm, and as it happened, one of the things that marked my early ministry was I did a lot of funerals, which, you know, sounds a bit sad, but actually it's an incredible privilege to be invited into a kind of family's journey at those difficult moments. And it was one of the kind of the most surprising but best things about learning to be a minister was walking with families doing funerals. So anyway, I'd often use the 23rd Psalm because it's well known and people like the rhythm, and I said, oh, which verse or which part of the psalm do you want me to speak on? And they said, oh, well, that's verse 5. And I said, oh, yeah, that's, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, your rod and staff, they comfort me. I said, that'd be great. He said, oh, it's not the whole verse. We've got, it's a 12-week series, and so we've got 3 Sundays just on that verse. You're speaking on a third of a verse. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You have to stop there, because next week somebody else is doing the bit that follows the comma. So I thought, well, I'll teach them. So I didn't speak on a third of a verse. I spoke on 2 words. Even though. Even though. Friends, often we are an even though people. Being a Christian, following God, trying our best to kind of be part and caught up in the story of Jesus doesn't protect us from all of the stuff that life brings. It's not a get out of jail free card. It's not a pass. It's not a kind of, well, that all matters not. There used to be a kind of song that was popular in the 70s and 80s, and I know my father-in-law would always refuse to sing the line on theological grounds. He was slightly strange, a bit like his daughter, but don't say I said that. And there's a line said, in God all our problems disappear. And he said, that's not true. The problems, the difficulties of life are there all the time, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even though all this stuff happens, because I have faith, it puts a different perspective on things. I'm not alone. The Spirit that we're kind of talking about, you've been talking about, is with us. And this is what Isaiah says. He uses a different word. And yet, God, I wish you would come and take everything away and act in power. And I remember when you did. And yet, through your Spirit, you are with us. And for Isaiah, and yet says, actually, it's not about me. It's not about me trying to deal with my problems on my own. It's not about me trying to be on my own the best version of me. Even though, and yet, you, O Lord, and what does he say? You are the potter, and I am the clay. You are the potter, I am the clay. I do like the sound of my own voice. It's one of the great fits about me becoming a minister, is I do like to talk for England. But Louise says, you like to talk among yourselves, and it's a kind of cafe style. So we're going to think just for a few minutes about that verse. And I want you to do one of two different things, or you might be able to do both if you're very clever and you have the time and the imagination. Is what does that actually mean? What's the impact? It's a very familiar picture. We see it in Scripture. It appears again in the New Testament, it appears in different parts of other prophets, this image of clay and potter. But what does that actually mean? What does that really kind of impact? Because it's not many of us perhaps are potters. None of us would like to be clay, really. But what does that mean? And therefore the second question, which you could do instead of the first, or you can do them both, is if you were writing this passage today, because it's all about context, we might not say, I am the clay, Lord, you are the potter. What other image or simile might we use in the modern world for Seer Green in 2024? You say, well, you know, clay and potting, that's a bit middle class. It's a bit, you know, pottery throwdown. That's not going to work for toddler group. What are we going to do for the parents there? What image are we going to use? So take it. Run with it. We'll do, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll go around. And Louise says, you're very, very good at this, so no pressure, but I'm expecting great things, okay? Go for it. Yeah, if you need to move the chairs to make better groups, you know, bigger groups, that's fine. The sound desk are looking lonely, so don't let them get away with it, because I bet they sit there and don't do any of this each week, so. Threes, fours, twos, go for it.
Just thinking.
Oh, okay.
And I always often go if I've got 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I've got my husband's there, and Edna's husband's there as well. And I went to the grave, and I got a little plant on Bill's grave, and it had blown over. So I put it up. I picked it up and straightened it, and I thought that won't stay there long. They're forecasting wind.
Oh yes.
So I looked around, and there was it was a holly tree in a pot that had been left on a grave. So I thought it had blown over it, because it's quite tall. So I walked over to it and picked it up, and it was Edna's husband. I didn't realise that. So I talked to him and said, hello, Pat, fancy seeing you here. but I was thinking, when we were talking about that, that God is moulding us. He's blowing over these plants, and he says, heck, what did you do with life?
Absolutely. No, I think it's an interesting point, isn't it? In the song we just sang before, it said, mould me, it said, break me. Yeah. And that's actually quite a dangerous word. You know, if we actually, I mean, often we sing songs and we kind of, well, I don't know, you probably do, but, you know, you sing things and do I really mean that? Can I really commit to that? It's a nice tune and I know the words, but break me? You know, we're so often, oh, I'm all this and I know this and my, the way that we should do it is the way that I want to do it. And actually, to be broken before God is perhaps sometimes the first step before we can be moulded. So that's one of the images. Anyway, let's continue.
We had quite a good discussion in our group. Somebody want to just go for it, Lucy?
What we discussed is that God, no matter how bad we are, no matter how sinful we are, God is ready to mold us all time, to use us so that we can bring people, we can be converted and bring people to the fold.
Indeed, absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, interesting point. God is ready. God is always ready. But are we? Are we ready to be moulded? The clay, perhaps. And these pictures and images, you know, they're useful, but then they kind of start to break down, don't they? You know, it's not, you know, the clay perhaps doesn't get any choice about it. They just get kind of lumped onto the wheel or kind of moulded. Actually, for us, God gives us a degree of free will. So we have to want to be moulded. We have to be ready to be used. We have to do something. It's not just that God will kind of smash us to bits and kind of play around with us unless we want, you know. We need to be a willing participant in the process.
Yeah, we talked about the clay being like blobby, dirty, sort of misshapen. Mm. And yet God sees huge potential in it to do something that's really beautiful, yeah. Elegant, functional. So that kind of whole idea of God looking at us.
Absolutely.
Despite our blobbiness.
Yeah. And
huge potential.
And there's the echoes of the original, you know, we talked about the Spirit moving over creation at one point. I heard those words this morning. You know, Adam, the first man, you know, the word means, you know, earth, Adamah, you know, it's that idea even from the very beginning that God is kind of moulding and shaping and using something that is organic and becoming something else. Maybe one or two more and then we'll look at the second question, which was?
Life moulds you.
Life moulds you. Yes, yeah, sure.
There's God in charge of your life, as life moulds you. Circumstance.
Absolutely. So the combination of what happens to you in life and God, and is God in the life, or is life a consequence of our poor decisions? You know, sometimes, you know, I don't know if, you know, my satellite navigation system doesn't talk to me because I kind of can't stand it, so I just switch it off and it's just, I just watch the pictures. But that in the old days when it said, you know, turn left and you ignore it, and then he says, turn left and you ignore it, and then eventually the sat-nav says, next chance, make a U-turn, and he starts to get really shirty with you, and it's like, God, you know, that you know, you say you go left and we ignore him, he says go left and we ignore him, and eventually says, look, I'm getting really fed up here, make a U-turn, come back to me, and be ready to do what you're kind of told. And again, you know, it's a simplistic model, but, you know, God is a sat-nav. Anyway, one more, and then we'll...
The other modern image we thought of God being the computer programmer and we are the laptop.
God is a computer programmer. I must admit, I was thinking on my way over, I better have some good answers. So that was one of mine, yes. Oh, harsh.
I think that when you actually become a potter, the clay is supposed to be in the centre of the wheel.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
I think God is a potter, sometimes for myself, and I strayed and the clay fell over to the side and he's now brought me back into the centre and moulded me as I am.
Absolutely, no, that's really interesting, yeah, and that's helpful, yeah, that particularly if you're spinning a pot, yes, it has to be in the middle, otherwise it ends up like a scene from one of those films where there's stuff everywhere. So we've had, moving on to the second question, because I can see time is moving on, you know, I am a kind of laptop, or, you know, I was thinking of myself as a keyboard, and God's kind of fingers are there typing out a kind of message of life or kind of my life. But because I was thinking about the clay, and that's all very well, but for a clay pot to be useful, it has to be fired, and then it becomes fixed in place. And then I'm thinking, well, that's not the image we're talking about, because, you know, you can't break a pot and reuse the clay very easily. So anyone got other images? There's a young man at the back.
Architect of buildings. God is the architect.
We're going to be disciplined and wait for the microphone.
God is the architect and we are the buildings.
God is the divine architect, yes. Yeah, that was my other one, was, you know, I am the Lego. You know, yeah. God is the master builder. Because I like Lego, because you can kind of break it down into the bits and build it up again without kind of destroying it. And there are knobbly bits sometimes, and you build a bit, and then you kind of say, no, that wasn't a good idea. And that God is like those people who work at Legoland and build these amazing creations out of... Oh, well, don't let that spoil it. You know, all images are restricted. Anyone got a couple, one or two more? Anyone got a good one? Lego, oh. From young man at the back to young lady on the sound desk. Here we go.
Well, I've got several sorts of thoughts. Being a chef, I was thinking of ingredients. So I put the ingredients together, but it's God that makes it happen.
Okay.
You know, you have to have the energy and it's like growing, being a gardener. You put the seed in the ground, but nothing's going to happen unless God does something. You know, we need the elements, we need the heat, we need the rain, and that's up to God.
Absolutely. No, I mean, all those agricultural images are very biblical, yes. So God is the chef, you know. So what dish is he making out of you at the moment? Kind of a glorious souffle, or... to think about and ponder, maybe, I don't know, you know. And a final one, anyone got a...
One interesting one that Ian...
Yeah, come on, he's making this. We're going backwards and forwards. No need to go to the gym this week. There we go. Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things we were talking about was that Ian works with wood.
Okay.
And the fact he will quite often take a lump of wood that is reasonably sort of shapeless, formless, whatever. You look at it, study it, and he said it can take some time, turning it around, looking at different lumps, and then slowly starting to chip away and shave away and chop away at it and turn it into. But it's not just the finished product that becomes something beautiful, useful, have you, but the waste product that's left aside, he can also use, because he can turn that into kindling or what have you to light his fires and things. So it's not just the finished article, it's the stuff that is left behind that sometimes can also be used. Deep.
Yeah, no, that's a good one, yeah. The carpenter obviously echoes there, but yes, the thought of everything is useful, even the kind of the shavings or the chippings are useful. But there's in all of this, there's some element, isn't there, of sort of transformation, of change, of being part of the process, not a spectator. You know, somebody once said, you know, Christianity, faith, it's not a spectator sport. It's something that we have to kind of join in with and be part of. And although the Spirit is with us, and you've been looking at the Spirit, you know, and God, you know, whether in Jesus, you know, remember that Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us, God isn't a distant being that just kind of looks down, but through the person of Jesus, or continuing through the person of the Spirit, he is with us. Whatever we think, whatever stuff we're going through, whatever our aches and pains, whatever life might throw at us, whatever wind might blow, and it's supposed to be very, very windy over the next day or two. And yet God is with us, wanting to mould us, wanting to chip away at us, wanting to whisk us up and bake us, wanting to tap away on the keyboard and make some amazing program out of it, or whatever other image, wanting to build some great structure out of Lego, glued or not. God is with us, and we are part of it. That's the mystery of faith, is that we're invited to be part of this. We're invited to see where God is dancing and to join in. We're invited into the story to make ourselves part of the story and be changed by doing that as well. And yet, and yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are indeed the potter. We are all formed. You might say we are all being formed. We are all being formed by his hand. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the encouragement that we find in the prophets, the encouragement that we have found in all that we have explored through this book. We thank you that your encouragement doesn't stop with the end of a series, but continues because we know that your Spirit is with us. You journey with us. You are the potter, the carpenter, the chef over our lives. We pray that as individuals and as your community gathered here, we may be open to being broken, to being moulded, to being shaped, to being chipped away at, to being baked, whatever it is, Lord. Give us willing hearts and open eyes so that we may indeed be the people that you have called us to be. We may do the things that you've called us to do. Thank you for all that you have been. Thank you for all that you are. And thank you for all that you will be in our lives through your Spirit. Amen.